I want to today continue in a message that we had began on last week, a new series that we've entitled Living on Purpose. Say, I am living on purpose. Because the alternative to living on purpose is just living according to whatever feelings or conditions or situations you may encounter. I shared an illustration about the idea of a hot air balloon. Now, I would like to ride in a hot air balloon once, maybe one day. But what I found out about hot air balloons is that you cannot steer them. They cannot be directed. You cannot say, I'm going to get in a hot air balloon, and I'm going to go fly over Greenwood or go over Castleton or Fishers. That thing is going wherever the wind blows. And the only way you can control it is you got to find a direction of when you go higher or lower to find a wind direction. Otherwise, you're being carried about by the wind. And that, to me, is not an example of living on purpose. We talked about, big jets like the 747 airplane. It, huge airplane, but it takes a thing many miles to turn. It's so big. Then we talk about the fighter jet, smaller planes that are more functional, more maneuverable. And that's a better picture, I believe, of living on purpose, something that takes you there quickly, that turns quickly, that's responsive. And so I believe that's a good way to think about the fact that we want to be people who are living on purpose, who are responsive to God, responsive to dreams, responsive to the concerns that concern us. I mean, when I hear that somebody has a need, I want to respond to that need. Whether financially, I want to respond with helping and assisting. I want to be able to respond to people the way that I want to. But if I'm all, tied up with obligations and debt and, I got myself all tied up in things I really shouldn't be involved with, then I'm not free to respond. I'm not living on purpose. I'm living just on conditions. I'm living on debt. I'm living on whatever it is that keeps me from responding to God and to my own heart. So say I'm living on purpose. Amen to that. We're going to read today mainly from the Message Bible. And I'm going to ask you to go to, pull up here what I want to share with you. Message Bible is a paraphrase Bible, meaning that it's not a translation. It isn't always accurate, but it's very descriptive. So first place we're going to go to is, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Go in your Bible, but I'm going to read to you from the Message Bible. Colossians chapter 1. It says there around verse 16, now, Message Bible doesn't use verses for every single verse, so it's kind of sections and groups of verses. But around verse 16, in the Message Bible says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank, after rank of angels, everything got its start in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together. He, like a head does a body. Note this part says here that everything, absolutely everything, the Bible says, got its start in him. Say everything.
Everything.
Absolutely everything.
Absolutely everything.
Got started. Because of God, because of Jesus. Say, because of Jesus. So then recognize that we think about our lives and things we want, things we desire, things we need. We ask questions like, what do I want to become when I grow up or now I'm grown? Where am I at in relation to what I wanted to become? What are my goals? What are my dreams? What are my desires for the future? We talk about the things we want, the people we would like to meet, the kind of person to marry, kind of place to live. All that's a part of our thoughts. But the Bible here makes it clear that really, it all starts with God. It actually isn't about you. It isn't about me. It's about him. Now, that's a big change from what we normally think. We aren't raised to understand life that way. The fact is, it isn't about us. It's about God. We have it turned around. We say it's all about us. And so how can I get God in my plan? Like I always tell you, God doesn't follow you. God doesn't follow us. We must follow him. Now, for lack of that, we wind up in situations where we feel confused. We feel like we're not really living on point and on purpose. Sometimes, even worse, folk are depressed. They're despondent. They can't make sense of things. Well, if the Bible says that, if God said that everything above and below, visible and invisible, all the angels, everything else in creation, if it all got its start in him and finds its purpose in him, do you really think you'll have a purpose, a strong purpose outside of God? What do you think? Is that possible? Well, I'm sure going to try. Well, you can try, but I'm a witness now. I've lived long enough, pastored long enough, helped enough people, seen folks struggle enough to know that you come to a point in your life, you realize, man, what have I been up to? What have I been doing? And you don't want to get there in your 40s and 50s and think, okay, now, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't understood God. Well, let's take advantage of the word you hear now. When you hear the word of God, the Bible says when you hear God's word, don't harden your heart. And when you're young, this is the best opportunity to say, Lord, you're smarter than me. Let's try that on. Say, Lord, you're way smarter than me. Now, y'all, there's some smart folks in this room. I know it because if I discuss certain things with you and I go off the rails and I'm not correct, you're going to say, hey, no, that's not right. And I'm going to challenge you, okay, how do you know that? Because I was educated that way. I do this stuff for a living. And I'm going to say to you, oh, thank you. In other words, I'm not going to be stupid. I might be dumb, but I'm not stupid, okay? If somebody is smarter than me on something, I'm going to be quiet and listen to them. Now, just trying to say, ain't nobody smarter than God. It almost goes without saying, but let me say it. There's nobody smarter than God. And yet folk think they are. They want to challenge him. They want to challenge what he said. They want to question the Bible. Listen, you want to question the word of God, question the Bible, we can sit down and go through all of that. Just give me a couple of days. Because the evidence is overwhelming. And all your little excuses and all the people, little puny things they say, I'll tell you something, the answers to all that stuff. The Bible is the word of God. It's reliable, inerrant. Now, our interpretation might be messed up, But the Bible, so I'm saying, the Bible is like, it's like gravity. It's like laws of nature. There are things you can always rely on. I never go on an airplane thinking, would a law of lift work? When we get up to speed of plane, down the runway, going, will it take off? Will it take off? Will it take off this time? It has every other time my whole life, but will it take off this time? If you got enough speed, if the flaps are right, it's going to take off every single time, right? The word of God is that reliable times 100. Everything you count on, everything. Y'all came in here and set your behinds down in those chairs. Did nobody check the chair? No one picked it up, checked all the weld points. No one. You set your behind right down in that chair. And you're going to question the Bible. And you sit down in chairs. Huh? Man, listen, we drive down the street. And the light is green. And we go right through the intersection. Trusting. The folks are stopping on the other side. Now, I do take a peek there. I do have to, I look. I got to take a look. And if I am at the light when it turns green, I'm going to sit there for a few seconds. I'm not jumping out there. Let somebody else jump out there first. Because people run the light, yellow light. My point is, look at all the things you trust. There is no reason why you can't trust God 10 times more. Everything, absolutely everything, got started in him and finds its purpose in him. So then we are to be destined and directed. See, I can be destined and directed by a God who is completely reliable. Amen to that. And if there's any problem, it's somewhere on earth. It's somewhere in me. There's no problem in heaven. No problem with God. Every problem, every bit of confusion I have, every unclear notion I have, every theory I'm wondering about, it's somewhere in me. I haven't figured things out. And it's nowhere in God, right? Because he has it all straightened out. Now, let's assume, if you assume that there's a God, and of course, you know, we believe in God, but there are people who have question marks about that, then the problem is we'll start questioning everything that we believe surrounds him. There was a man, an atheist, who said, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. An atheist guy said that, okay? Even atheists come to a point of realizing, I don't make any sense to myself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because you can't explain everything through science and physics. And so the purpose of life without God is meaningless. But purpose with God, life with God, is full of purpose. You believe that? And so the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment or peace of mind or even your happiness. All right? Purpose, living on purpose, is greater than family and career, your dreams and ambitions. Those are all very important things. But without purpose, how do you understand family? How do you understand happiness? What is happiness? Truly. Now, happiness, people say, well, money can't buy happiness. It can buy some happiness. But the problem is, if you just make happiness based on things you have something new every other day, every other week. You can't get enough stuff to keep you happy. So purpose is the thing that when you have it, then you don't have to have stuff to make you happy. Stuff doesn't hurt. Stuff is nice. But when you have purpose, when things fade, when the style goes away, when the whole trend changes, man, you're okay. You're fine. We ask questions again, like, you know, who am I and where am I going in life? These are all questions answered by knowing, of course, by knowing God. Now go to Psalm 139. Here's the scripture we've often read. I love to read it. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Because we're destined by God, we have a destiny. Now, destiny, let me add this important point. Destiny is not whatever will be. Destiny is not that I'm going to come into whatever God has for me no matter what I do. Oh, no. Destiny is the plan of God. It's the purpose of God. It's the potential that God has for you. And the fact that, your destiny is for you. But God also tells us where to walk, how to walk. He says, here's the way, walk in it. Bible says we should love people and love God. And Word talks about the conditions we can help set that put us on a path toward destiny. Therefore, we have to be directed to fulfill destiny. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 139, to give you a sense of the hope and the power of your destiny, David spoke this. It's as if David is speaking from the womb before he was born. He says, verse 14, this is the New Living Translation of the Bible. He says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous and how well I know it. I mean, David couldn't know scientifically what we know now about the marvelous, complex creation of humans. You know, when we're conceived and all the complexities of DNA and how tissue is forming. People never saw babies inside the womb before we had all this technology. The point is, what David said there is a tremendous insight into the fact that we know today to be true, that we are marvelous in our workmanship. Say workmanship.
Workmanship.
Workmanship is the quality of the work. It is the quality that's been put into something by the creator, by the worker, by the person who did it. And that when it comes to workmanship, there is no greater creation than you or me. Amen. I mean, look at it. We as people live up to 100 some odd years, and I mean, just get the same old heart ticking away, you know, and if you take care of it now, you know, I mean, you can live a long time in terms of, you know, earthly years. We have these long lifetimes. We're pretty low maintenance, you know, just feed us and wash us up. Give us something to do. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you get injured, you can mend it. It's amazing that we actually are self-contained. You even got your own heat supply. Heating and cooling. Body heats up, cools down. Wonderfully complex. It's amazing, you know. Or, say, I'm amazing. I'm just so amazing. I'm just so amazing. It's true. You can say it. It sounds arrogant. But it's true anyway. You are amazing, okay? Because God made you. Because we're his workmanship. That's why we're amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
And what he says, verse 15, you watched me while I was being formed in utter seclusion. That's in the womb. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb. He says it right there. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before me before a single day had passed. Now, when he says every day was laid out for you, it doesn't mean that you're going to actually receive and enjoy the benefit of every day unless we obey God. If we have purpose in God, if we make our foundation Christ, if we understand how to follow him, then we'll be on schedule with God. Whatever schedule God has for me, I want to be on schedule. Now, I spoke at a conference in California earlier this month. I was on schedule for, it was Wednesday, on schedule to speak on Wednesday. And the schedule was made for me before I knew the schedule was made for me. Then they invited me and confirmed the schedule. You follow me? I was in the mind of the conference host before I knew I'd be there. They had to invite me, and once I was invited and accepted, then they confirmed the schedule. Now I had a schedule, and I was there on. I got there on Monday morning. I was in the conferences from Monday. It was a Monday through Thursday conference. I'm on schedule for Wednesday. Now the thing is, I could have got confused. I could have not paid attention to the time. I could have showed up on Thursday talking about I'm ready for my session. They like, dude, you were scheduled for Wednesday. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to preach anyway? No, I'm not. I just missed it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, somebody else is scheduled for that time on Thursday. Whatever happened on Wednesday, I don't know about it, except they waited around, thought he didn't show up. And then, like the old saying is, I sent for you yesterday, and here you come today. You know, John Wayne thing. I can't do John Wayne too good, but, you know, I sent for you yesterday. Here you come today. You're off schedule, dude. That's how we live our lives, see? Sometimes, so don't blame God for this stuff. If you don't check the schedule, the word of God, amen, prayer, the people of God that's put in your life, all help us understand what our schedule is. The Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, give us a sense of what the schedule is. And if we miss anything, don't blame God. Don't blame God. Blame yourself. Repent. Lord, forgive me. I mean, anytime all the life that we have lived before coming to Christ, except by the mercy of God now, we've been off schedule. Now, thank God his mercy, man. God's mercy is amazing. I mean, God, man, God will keep us near stuff and close to stuff we're supposed to be into. He does that until we get enough sense to wake up, you know, say, smell the coffee, whatever, and just walk in the plan. Well, David is reflecting amazingly as a child in the womb. Now, of course, he, you know, was fully grown, but reflecting back by the Spirit of God, recognizing that being destined and directed didn't start the day you knew that God had something for you. He's always had a plan for you. Before you were born, before you were conceived, before your parents were born, before anybody lived, God has, he predestined in his heart and mind all of us. The question is, are you on schedule? Say, am I on schedule? That's the question. Are you on schedule? And so the Bible here says that, verse 17 says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up in the morning, you are still with me. Wow. Wow. I mean, anybody who is so wonderfully made, so complex, anybody God thinks about so much as to form and create, he must be thinking about you. A lot of thoughts. Because, I mean, if it's complex, it takes a lot of good thinking. A lot of strong thinking has to go behind anything complex. Is that right? So don't think for a moment, God, don't think for a moment, God's not thinking about you. And if he's thinking about you, ask the question, what's he thinking about me? He's thinking about the plan, the schedule, the purpose he's given you. He is thinking, and Christ is praying that we'll walk in and live in the purpose that God has for us. Amen, church? Amen. Please get a hold of that. That's a great scripture. Talked about our shape in our gift discovery workshop on last Sunday. And your shape. You see, God has a shape for us. That our purpose defines our shape. And that word shape, taken as each letter, S-H-A-P-E, the S stands for spiritual gifts. That your shape and your purpose is defined by the gifts you have. All of us have different gifts, spiritual gifts and talents, a whole package of gifts. Not just singing and art, which are very prominent gifts, but even gifts where it concerns the gift of encouraging people, the gift of organizing, and gift of making things come together and, you know, helping people organize around purposes. I mean, these are all types of gifts. Second is H, which stands for your heart. The kind of heart you have, the kind of passion you have, the things that move you, the things that drive you, if you will. What makes you get up in the morning and want to go to work? You know, the job you have, you're supposed to love it. You're supposed to love the job you have. Somebody say amen if you love your job.
Amen.
Okay, well, you should love your job, okay? Now, the A talks about, speaks to abilities, skills you've gained. All right, you have talent, but you also have skill. You've learned things. You've gained ability. I mean, typing is an ability. There's no talent for typing. Well, maybe, you know, fast typing, maybe. But typing, you must learn that, right? It's a skill, acquired skill. How many people type in here? How many hunt and peck? Hunt and peck without looking. None of you. That's what I thought. So you're not typing. P is personality. Now, with all this talk about what God has for us, don't mistake it now. There is, in all of this purpose thing, there is the distinctive part, which is you. The unique part is you. And nobody can do what you do. Nobody can do it the way you do it. So God isn't making us into puppets. He's not stamping out clones. We're all individuals, all right, who have a purpose in God, but our personality is going to make our purpose distinctive. And so whether you're a shy person or outgoing person, quiet or loud person, that's all good with God. Amen? He will use you just like you are. I mean, God is not necessarily impressed with those who are more quiet and more boisterous. God loves you all and made you just the way you are. Now, we can be less quiet or more boisterous. I mean, we can balance the scales of how we operate. But fundamentally, the way that you are is the way God made you. I mean, when you were a child, if you're like a happy-going person now, you are a happy-going little child. Amen? If you're a busybody now, you are in as a child, you're in everything, under the cabinets and pulling stuff out. You've always done that stuff. So, but this is how, that's personality is a part of your purpose. And finally, it's experience. Now, experience is what you've gone through in life, and this is what can help or hurt us, because bad experiences can really mess you up. Bad experiences can make you afraid of trying things that you tried once and it went poorly for you. But hear this now. Anything you had, any experience you had before coming to Christ, okay, don't look at it the same way. Because if I didn't know Christ and did some things and experienced some things, recognize the fact that I didn't have his wisdom, didn't have his grace with me, so I may have suffered more than I really had to. So don't let experiences dictate you. People say, well, experience is a teacher. I don't think so. I think you can learn from experience. But see, teachers are not just things that happen to you. Teachers are things that happen on purpose. Teachers are physical teachers, high school, grade school, college, parents. I mean, teaching is not something that just falls out in your life. Teaching is very intentional. So don't take experience as a teacher. It may try to be that. Don't let it be experience for you. Don't let teaching experience to be your teacher. Amen? I mean, deal with stuff, learn from stuff. Don't let experience be your teacher. Let teachers be your teacher. Come on, somebody. I'd much rather not almost cut my hand off with a saw, a power saw. All right? No. Teach me how to use this saw. Okay? Now, I can cut my hand deep and almost lose a finger. I learn from that. But I'd rather have someone who's skilled at carpentry teach me about how to use a saw. You follow me? So, listen, you don't want experience. Experience is not a very good teacher. That's my point. It's a very bad teacher. People sometimes learn about sex and all that in the streets. Don't hear from their parents. Parents don't talk about the birds and the bees. Oh, you mean sex? Parents don't talk about that. So kids pick up a little bit here, a little bit over there. Don't allow that. Experience is not a good teacher. Right? A lot of freaky people out here talking to your kids. Freak can't teach you nothing but how to be a freak. Come on. Yeah, I said freak. That's the best word, you know. It's really the best word. You know, we got things we say that are the best. You know, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and there's this guy in town who was trying to organize churches, and he had this thing where he wanted to honor all the first ladies and have them come to an event with the churches, and then want to have the churches to compete on cheering. So here's First Lady Jones. And so the loudest person who had to cheer would win the prize. Now, it didn't go nowhere, you know what I'm saying? I said, man, that's a hustle. That's the best word. It's a hustle. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so then people experience is no good, man. Let teachers teach you. The Holy Spirit is a good teacher. He's the best teacher. People who have lived life and served God's purpose, they are great teachers. Live on purpose. I will live on purpose. So we have the spiritual gifts. Talking about your shape, your S, spiritual heart, spiritual gifts. H is heart. A, abilities. P, personality. And E, experience. That was last week's lesson that some of y'all missed. A lot of y'all missed. Great workshop we had last Sunday night. Well, let me encourage you. If you, and Miles Monroe says this, you know, as well as anybody else, to know the purpose of a thing, don't ask the thing. Ask the creator of the thing. Amen. I mean, this is an iPad. Apple knows best. You know, there's all kind of phones, Androids. And I mean, whatever that chair, I mean, whoever made the chair, the label on the chair, you know, tells us who made that chair. And that we can't ask the chair about what its purpose is. Obviously, it's a chair, but we have to talk to manufacturers and makers and creators about the purpose of things. And the more complex something is, the more you need to have an explanation. I like diving in like many of you do. You get something new. You want to dive in. Don't want to read the instructions. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to figure this thing out. Happens around Christmas time. People buy these gifts, going to assemble the thing, put it together, and then the wheel's like reversed. You know, something crazy going on there. Because we think that we know the purpose of a thing that we didn't create. Well, the point is obvious, that we must be sure that we're talking to God about our lives, asking him to give us insight into our gifts and our future. Because God is more than willing to talk to you about these things if you ask him. It's amazing. If you ask God, he'll talk to you. I've spent days and weeks sometimes in frustration over things and realized, you know what? I never asked God about that. Just didn't ask him about it. Just assumed that he would just jump in and fix it. Or he would hop in and just make me understand it. No, God, the way the system works is if you don't ask, you don't receive. You can go to the bank and stare at the teller all you want. Just, you know, stare at him like, well, what do you want? You know what I want. I don't know what you want. We got deposits, withdrawals. We got certificates of deposit, investments, home mortgages. What do you want? You stand and look at me. We're the same with God. Looking at God like, God, I love you. I praise you. What do you want? Whatever you want from me, God, what do you want? Sometimes God don't want the answer from you. Lord, whatever you want from me, I want. No, what do you want, son? Because his purpose and destiny is wrapped up in what's in your heart. See, your desire of heart has to match. It has to match the plan of God. And God will involve you in that process. He'll involve you in that discovery. He won't just drop things on you that never crossed your mind before. Rarely does it happen. All right, now go to the book of Romans chapter 8. So let's begin with God, our creator. We can't ask ourselves what our purpose is. We must begin with talking to him. And it's through him that we discover our origins, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. It's all discovered through him. Now, in Romans 8, I'll get there in a moment, but I remember I drove one time from L.A. to San Francisco up Highway 1. Took a couple of days, had my camera. I wanted to go up that way and see all that I heard about. It was nice. Now, on the way back, I had it in my mind, I'm going to come back a different way. Now, back then, we had maps, but no GPS. I didn't have GPS with me. They were available, but not available on phones like they are now. All I had was a little rough, like a rental car map, not even detailed. So I'm heading back toward L.A., and I thought, I'm going to take that road, see where it leads. Now, in Indiana, that's all right. Everything's connected up here. You know, I mean, any road here will take you back to 65, 69, you know, eventually. You're going to get back. But in a really big place with desert and things going on, I'm on this road, and the road ended, man. I mean, I was on for like, you know, 4, 5, 6 miles, and the road just ended. And it was like this dirt and rocks and things. Like, man, what happened to the road, you know? Now, why did I think that I'm going to actually drive? I mean, how can you travel like that? Now, it's fun to explore, you know. I know, it's part of the person I know, it's part of me. I wasn't in no danger, and it wasn't nighttime or anything. I wouldn't, like I said, I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid, okay? All right. So, all right. So I had to retrace that whole path back to where I had departed from. And I got back to the main road and the road that the map showed and got back to L.A., you know, a couple hours later. You know what I'm saying? But point is, I mean, people sometimes want to live like that. Adventure is great. But there's purpose in adventure. There's purpose in taking chances and risks. These are not just risks without calculation. These aren't foolish risks. I mean, we do things that are feasible, things that are possible, but yet we don't act like everything works out all the time. I don't think so. Behind a person couple of days ago, heading somewhere on the street driving, and a person driving a little minivan, and she on the phone just talking. And her driver's side tire is like almost all the way flat. And I thought, now, she's going to wind up. I mean, she's going to be on this phone talking. And her tire going all the way down flat. You know what I'm saying? And she'll be somewhere in a car flat, driving on a flat tire. She's going to tear the tire up. Just rolling along. What's that bumping sound, you know? I mean, when people are not on purpose and taking care of stuff, look at your tires in the morning. Look at the tires. Say, I look at my tires. Look at the tires. Just walk around, take a look. I mean, but see, people who are not living on purpose assume everything is always okay. It'll work out somehow. Well, don't assume that. That's called presumption, right? Now, Romans 8 says this, verse 6, Message Bible. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us into the open, into a spacious, free life. This is a paraphrase, right? Big time paraphrase, all right? Verse 7. Focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. Wow, look at that. See, if we're thinking about ourselves, we are ignoring God. I mean, overly thinking about ourselves. We're ignoring God. And we aren't living on purpose until we put Him first, consider His plan for our lives, give attention to what He wants. And then when you understand yourself, you understand yourself in the right context. You see the real need, the real concern. You can address things in a real fashion. He says that focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. You got that? He says, verse 6 again says, obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. A lot of folk are at dead ends now, have been to dead ends, or on the way to dead ends. I mean, I've been at dead ends before. And my every dead end I've been to have arrived at occurred because I was obsessed with self. You know, Joyce Meyer has a thing. She says, what about me? What about me? What about me? It's a great teaching. You know, what about me? Because we go off on that tangent. What about me? What about me? And as long as you're on that tangent, man, you can't even hear God. You can't even be you can't see purpose. Living on purpose isn't about you. First thing I said was, it isn't about you. It isn't about me. It's all about Him. And so dead ends come and result when we only focus on self. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Albert Einstein, a great physicist, scientist, I mean a genius, wasn't known for his Christianity, but he was not an atheist. He was a deist, a Jewish man. But he said, God doesn't play dice. That is, you know, it's not just chance. He didn't say much about God, but he said that. God doesn't play dice. All right? God is a God of purpose. You believe that? Amen. Ephesians 1:11. This is Message Bible again. It says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Look at that. That's amazing. It's a good statement. In fact, say it together. Say, it is in Christ that I find out who I am and what I'm living for. He says, long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living. Oh, my goodness. Say, God had His eye on me. Before I heard of Christ. See, before you thought about God, He was thinking about you. Amen to that? So 3 points here in closing. 3 final points I'll make to you in closing. But again, living on purpose, destined, and directed. First thing is this, based on the scripture. First of all, you discover your identity and purpose through relationship with Jesus Christ. Say it just like that. Not with Buddha, not with God. This unknown God, I mean, it's with Christ. Christ is the one who died for us. He's the one who gave His life. He's the one that took the sin burden off of us. He's the one that broke the power of Satan, right? Because, see, deception is out there because of our own desires and also because of demonic forces that want to deceive us and keep us from seeing what God would have us to see. Well, when you know Christ, He breaks through all of that. So, listen, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that He came to destroy the works of the devil. It says that. And if those works are in me, He'll destroy those works. Amen. If they're in my family, he'll destroy. He will eliminate the threats. He'll take out of my life, out of my mind, anything that prevents purpose from manifesting in me. Do you hear that? I'm talking about Jesus now. I'm talking about God, you know, who's not clear. I mean, not the God of religion. I mean, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. And so, secondly is, said it earlier, but God was thinking about you a long time before you thought about him. All right. I already said that once already, but emphasizing it now. It's a very important point. And that his purpose predates your conception. His purpose for you predates your conception. So then anything that was left for me that's valuable, I need to find that. How about you? You know, every now and then the state will publish this thing about, you know, unclaimed money. Amen. Put your name in there. See what comes up. You know, of course, you always find out it's a different Brian Hudson. You know, it wasn't you. But sometimes you'll find some, you know, unclaimed stuff in there, you know. And hey, you know what? If it's there, I don't mind getting it. How about you? If someone left me like, you know, $10,000 and forgot to tell me, and I find out about it, I'm going to go get it. If God left me through Christ, love and joy and peace and power and wisdom and purpose and blessing and fruitfulness, man, I want it. Amen. Do you want what God has left for you? Yes. No, I don't want it, Pastor. Of course you want it. What do you have that's better than that? Well, I got myself a car. I got myself a job. You ain't got no money. That little thing, you got a little car. I mean, the nicest car, just a little bit of piece, just a piece of metal. Come on, somebody. Little stuff you got, man, can be broken, stolen. Worst thing, listen, man, I had my car stolen one time. Worst thing in the world, well, not worst thing in the world, a bad feeling. Worst thing in the world is being dead, okay? But the worst thing, that's the worst thing in the world, is being dead. Amen. But had my car stolen, man, off the church parking lot, different location, thought, that's a bad feeling, y'all, you know. Because a car is very personal. You got your stuff in there, your music and things in there, you know, and broken glass, and the car is gone. Like, man, this is a terrible feeling, you know, terrible. But then my attitude was right because I, you know, I've always believed in God. I trust him. I said, Lord, somebody stole your car. It's exactly what I said. I ain't worried about that thing. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going there. Listen, if you're so into your stuff, man, and, you know, then get back in faith with God because material stuff can't drive us. And if God knows that stuff don't have you, he'll give you stuff because your heart isn't in the thing. You enjoy stuff, but you love people, you love God and like things. Amen, church? Amen. So he says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are. Now, second point is, he thought about you again before he thought about him. Number three, the purpose of your life fits into a much larger purpose that God has designed for eternity. We don't think much about this, but one day, all right, this existence, this world is going to come to an end as we know it. Governments of the world will be no more presidents, no more presidents of the United States, no more USA, no more Europe. All right, there'll still be an earth, there'll still be land masses. But man, the government of this world will be under Christ. There come a day, I'm telling you, when man, the devil won't be around no more. Devil be all bound up, chained away, put away somewhere. It sounds like this. Really? Yes, really. One day. So then we're not living this life just to move through life and get things done before we die. We're moving through life in preparation for eternity. Right. We're going to be reigning and ruling with him in eternity. Right. We got responsibilities. Right. Ain't no vacation we're going to. Right. Amen. Now, it's hard for us to conceive of it. I know that. It's hard for us to even fathom that. But that's more to life than just your job and my job and our stuff and your stuff, you know, and just vacations and stuff. That's all good. There's more to life than that. Amen. And I've done all these funerals and you preach over somebody's life and some folks have lived their whole life and didn't really serve the purpose of God and the obituary is all made up, you know, little stuff, you know what I'm saying, and the amount of hilly beans in a 40-acre field because folk never trusted Christ. Now, we honor people. We don't mention that, you know, when they after they're dead, you know. But the fact is, a lot of folk leave here, man, done nothing, hardly, with God. Amen? We don't think, you know, so our lives aren't lived in the view of our death as much as we want to make life count and make every day count and serve God's purpose in our generation and serve God while we can. Amen. I want to live on purpose. Yeah. How about you? Yeah. Say, I want to live on purpose. Say, I will live on purpose. Come on, say it, I will live on purpose.